the Lord, my dear friend. Let me once again welcome you to your most favorite program, The Pentecost Hour, proudly sponsored by the Church of Pentecost Headquarters. We are most privileged to have on Pentecost Hour an apostle of the Church of Pentecost and a missionary. He is in the person of Apostle Dr. Della Quampa. He examines the subject eschatology. So my dear friend, let us listen to Apostle Dr. Della Quampa. A rock of refuge, you are my hiding place and shield. Be to me a rock of refuge, you are my hiding place and shield. In you, oh Lord, do I take refuge. Do not cast me from your
refuge. Do not cast me from your presence. Be to me a rock of refuge. You are my hiding place and shield. Be to me a rock of refuge. You are my hiding place and shield.
Beloved listener, God bless you for tuning into Pentecost Hour. We want to use this chance to appreciate the Church of Pentecost leadership who sponsored this program and the technical team headed by Apostle Dan Taki, who is the radio minister of the Church of Pentecost, and Pastor David Olaga. God bless you for hosting this program. My topic this morning is linked to the series I've been running on Our Eschatological Hope. Our Eschatological Hope. That is the hope Christians have in the end of the age, when the world system would come to an end and the perfect rule of God will be established, when Christians and righteous people will go to heaven and unbelievers and wicked people will be consigned to suffering and perpetual torment in hell. The chain of events that mark the end of the age is like this. Starts with the rapture, after which comes the Bema Seat Judgment. Then there will be the tribulation, when the Antichrist will be revealed. There will be the parousia, when Christ would come down to earth and engage in the Battle of Armageddon. After the Battle of Armageddon, when Satan is chained, then will be the millennium rule of Christ. The millennial rule of Christ would end when Satan is released after 1,000 years from the bottomless pit, and then he would mobilize his army and fight with Christ and the saints the battle of Gog and Magog. And eventually, there will be the white throne judgment, the great white throne judgment that will mark the end of history. It is my privilege, my blessed listener, to speak to you on the Bema Seat Judgment. The Bema Seat Judgment. For the Bema Seat Judgment, I would like to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. And it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each will be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each will be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad." That is from 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Then, I need to mention, my dear listener, that the principle of work and reward is an eternal principle. The principle of work and reward is an eternal principle. It is God's idea. It is God's revelation. And then also, the principle of sowing and reaping is an eternal principle. The principle of sowing and reaping is an eternal principle. And finally, the principle of investment and interest is also an eternal principle. Principle of investment and interest is an eternal principle. Proverbs 14:23 says, "In all labor, there is profit. In all labor, there is profit." And because the principle of work and reward, sowing and reaping, investment and interest, all derived from God, God has assured Christians, God has assured those who are committed to Him, God has assured those who serve Him that He will reward them. His promise is sure. He is eternally faithful. You can count on Him. The whole of society is structured on the principle of work and reward. Nature will reward you if you don't consume your seed and you sow it. Give it time. It will give you your seed in multiples. The structure of society in terms of work and reward is manifest. When employees are engaged by employers, they promise them that at the end of the month, they will pay them so much. Insurance companies take investment premium and tell you that when it matures or when the unfortunate happens, they might pay you so much. All these ideas actually originate from God. God is constantly reminding us that if we serve Him well, we will not lose our reward. It is sad to see human beings toiling so much, struggling so much to make money, to build a legacy, to build a fortune, which are all temporary rewards, and they ignore the eternal rewards that God has promised. I challenge you, my dear listener, if you spend all your time making money, building a fortune, trying to establish your influence, and to be famous, I want to sound this word of caution. God is not impressed. God is not impressed When you go to heaven, he's not going to ask you, how many houses did you build? Which kind of class did you own? But he would ask you, what did you invest in his kingdom business? How much of your time did you invest in God's kingdom business? How much of your resources did you invest in God's kingdom business? I am speaking on the topic, Bema Seat Judgment. The Bema Seat Judgment. The death and resurrection of Christ has secured entrance into heaven for every believer. Every believer who believes in Christ would make it to heaven. That is sure. However, our rewards are not automatic. I'll say that again. The death of Christ has secured entrance into heaven for everybody who believes in God, who believes in Christ, who believes on his vicarious death on the cross. However, your reward in heaven is not automatic. There are a couple of questions that you are going to answer in heaven when it comes to the Bema Seat Judgment. And let me just mention a few. The first one, my dear listener, what did you do with your time? How much of your time did you spend on the things of God? How much of your time did you spend in church? How much time did you spend in prayer? How much time did you spend studying the Word of God? How much time did you spend reading Christian literature? My dear listener, it's a question you will answer in heaven. Two, what did you do with your talents? God has blessed every individual with talents. Some have musical talents. Some have administrative talents. Some have leadership talents. Some have service talents. And all these talents are supposed to be put at God's disposal in serving the church, in serving the community of believers, in serving humanity. But what do we use our talents for? We use them to make money, to exploit people. What did you do with your talent? It's the question you answer when you get to heaven. What did you do with your energy, your strength, your capacity and ability? Did you use it to serve God or use it to serve yourself? The next big one is, what did you do with your money? Did you pay your tithes faithfully? I'm very much aware of the false teachings going out there telling us that tithes belongs to the Old Testament, belongs to the law dimension of the Bible. So for those of us under grace, we don't have to pay tithes. But let me just remind you, my dear listener, tithes was introduced before the law. Abraham paid tithes. Christ mentioned tithes in Matthew 23:23. This you should have done and not neglected the other. Pay your tithes. Give offerings. Support the church. Support the poor. Support the needy. And your reward at the Bema Seat Judgment will be sure. The next question, how did you treat your neighbor? We would answer all these questions. Were you kind? Were you compassionate? Were you merciful? May God have mercy upon us. 1 Corinthians 3:12-15. 1 Corinthians 3:12-15 says, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Maybe you are a believer who is not taking your service to God seriously. I pray grace upon your life that you change your attitude towards the things of God and build eternal treasure for yourself, treasure that will survive the test of fire, so that you receive your reward at the Bema Throne Church. The word Bema is used in the Gospel and Acts, in the book of Acts, as a raised platform where a Roman magistrate or ruler sat to make decisions and pass sentence. For instance, Pilate's judgment seat was referred to as Bema. In Romans 14:10 and 2 Corinthians 5:10, Romans 14:10, 2 Corinthians 5:10, the word Bema, it's used in association with the Isthmian Games. The Isthmian Games occurred in the Corinthian Peninsula, where contestants who compete do so under the scrutiny of the judges. The Greeks had two famous games, the Olympic Games and the Isthmian Games. The Isthmian Games was held, as I said, in Corinth. Now, these games were regulated and controlled by very, very strict rules. So Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:5, similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Unless he competes according to the rules. In the same way, my dear listener, the Christian life, the Christian race, the Christian journey is not a tea party. It is regulated and controlled by rules. May God grant you grace, and may you submit to the commandments of God, obeying them to the letter, so that your reward at Bema will be sure. The victor at either the Olympic Games or the Isthmian Games in Corinth will be called to a platform referred to as Bema. And at Bema, he will be given a laurel or something that looks like a wreath as a symbol of victory. It's a time of reward or loss of reward after examination. Bema Throne Judgment for Christians is a time of reward or loss of reward for Christians. The question then is, when would the Bema Throne Judgment occur as part of the end time events? It would occur after the rapture, when the church is caught up into heaven to be with the Lord. The reward of the faithful will be handed down to them in heaven at the Bema Throne, whilst there will be tribulation going on earth. Now, the rewards, there will be various crowns that Christians would receive for their conduct and their service. This is because God recognizes our specific sacrifices, our specific investments that we make into his service. And each of these sacrifices receive appreciation from God. Scanning the Bible, we could readily identify five crowns. The first one is the incorruptible crown or the victor's crown. The incorruptible crown or the victor's crown. You can read about this in 1 Corinthians 9. 24 to 27. Now, do you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last. That is the incorruptible crown. I pray grace upon your life that you would persevere. Why? Because the Christian life is challenging, is difficult. There are a lot of drawbacks. There are a lot of things that would discourage you. There are a lot of challenges, things telling you to give up. But may you push through. May you press through. May you persevere so that the incorruptible crown will be yours. The rules for the Isthmian or the Corinthian Games was very strict. You needed to train and then get certification that you trained for 10 months. And the last month of the 10 must be spent in Corinth under strict supervision. Now let's talk about spiritual discipline in terms of prayer, fasting, church attendance, service, giving, self-control. You need to do all this as signs of perseverance so that you get the victor's crown, the incorruptible crown. Beat the body, as Paul said. Bring it under control. Tell it to shut up. Don't overindulge the body's appetite. Appetites of food, sex, drugs, alcohol. Control your tongue. Control your desire for fame, power, and wealth. And if you did all these things consistently, you are sure to get the incorruptible crown. May God grant you grace in this direction. The next crown is the crown of righteousness. And this one will be given to those who live righteous life in expectation of the Lord's return. The crown of righteousness. Those who live by God's command, fear Him, tremble at His word. They love God and they try to do everything they can to please Him. They avoid sin as much as possible. They also love other human beings. They try to do right by them and serve them with selfless dedication. That is the life directed and controlled by righteousness. Such people look for every opportunity to do something for God, to do something for mankind. They do it always in expectation of Christ's return, the crown of righteousness. May this be your portion in the name of the Lord. The third crown, my beloved listener, is the crown of life. And the crown of life is spoken about in James 1:12. James 1:12, which says, "Blessed is a man who endures trials, because when he passes the test, he will receive the crown of life that he has promised to those who love him." The crown of life is promised by God to those who love him. It is called the sufferer's crown. It is a crown given to those who faithfully endure and persevere under trials and tests of life. The trials we go through are not unnoticed of God. The singles who, despite temptations, control their desires will be rewarded. Those who are single, in spite of temptations, they control their sexual appetites, they will be rewarded. Some are enduring difficult marriages. Because of the word of God, they stick to it. They will be rewarded. Some have financial problems, but they will not steal from their employers. They will not cheat to meet their needs. They will be rewarded. Some have been insulted. They don't retaliate. They will be rewarded. Some are going through difficulty. Church members are gossiping about them. People are misinterpreting and misrepresenting them, but they stick to their commitment. They will surely receive a crown that would endure. That is the crown of life, the sufferer's crown. May that be your portion in the name of Jesus. The fourth crown is a crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, the crown of rejoicing. It is a soul winner's crown given to those who lead others to accept Christ. You are an instrument in God's hand for the salvation of others. Truly, it is only when your life makes a positive impact on others that you feel valued. Those who go about witnessing, bringing people to church, encouraging them in their faith, these are the soul winners. Those who follow up on backsliders, according to Daniel 12:3-4, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heaven, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever. Today, witnessing is declining in the church. I challenge you. May you witness. May you go out there. May you proclaim the gospel. May you save souls. May you follow up backsliders and win the crown of rejoicing. The fifth and the final crown, my dear listener, is the crown of glory. Recorded in 1 Peter 5:1-4. 1 Peter 5:1-4. It is the shepherd's crown. given to Christian leaders. It is the crown for leadership and administration, vision and innovation. It is the crown given for bearing responsibility for other people and for Christian institutions. It is the crown for bearing the prophetic burden of the people of God, praying for them, waiting upon God for revelation, to receive God's mind that would instruct them. It is the crown for enduring persecution of leadership. You would be gossiped about. You become the gossip topic. People will plan and scheme against you. Some would even oppose you openly. We teach and dispense graces that have eternal values, and God would reward Christian leaders for all these services rendered to the church. It is the crown for those who train others to live and walk in righteousness. They teach and practice values that transforms lives positively. We instruct people to make constructive choices that aligns their lives with the purposes and plans of God. It takes the grace of God, my dear listener, to earn any of these crowns. I pray that God will speak into your life, challenge you, motivate you, so that you work with commitment, put all your energy, resources, capacity, and ability at the feet of Jesus in his service, so that the day you appear at the Bema throne judgment, your reward will be great. Your reward will be rich. Your reward will be a source of inspiration, motivation, and encouragement unto many others. May God bless you for your dedication and commitment that will see you at the Bema throne judgment. Amen.
Thank you very much, my dear friend, for being part of this edition of Pentecost, our proudly sponsored by the Church of Pentecost headquarters. And we have been listening to Apostle Dr. Dela Kwampa, an apostle of the Church of Pentecost and a missionary. If you have been touched by this message and you want to give your life to Christ, to accept Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, let me give you this opportunity. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I accept you today as my Lord and personal Savior. I'll live for you all the days of my life. So help me, God. Thank you very much, my dear friend. If you have said a prayer, kindly call 024-767-9833. 024-767-9833. I am Daniel Ni Tetetaki. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.